I was born in a little village called New Bliss in County Monaghan, but there was nothing new about it, and there was no bliss in it for Jim when I was young. I was born into a very poor home. Now, it could have been otherwise, but it wasn't. I know what it was to have no food in my stomach, no clothes on my back, and no shoes on my feet, and an old coat on the bed. We won't dwell on that too much. And if you expect me to say much about my mum and dad, I just won't. I love them both. My dad wasn't a wicked man. He was a wee bit weak as far as drink was concerned, and that left us very poor. Now, I had to leave school at an early age, so I would say this now to you. Don't be too hard on my grammar if it's not the best. Someone said to Moody, the American preacher, "You made 9 grammatical errors tonight." And then he looked at the young man that said it. He says, "I'm doing the best with my grammar." "What are you doing with you?" "The only job I could get was in an egg store. That's before the Germans invented a machine to grate and stamp eggs and weigh them. I used to stamp eggs with a little stamp. I often dream about it, you know. And I broke more eggs than ever you'll eat. If there was a tiniest crack and I hit them too hard, they were gone. It was hard going. There were no cups of tea in the morning, you know. We often worked to 7 o'clock. There were no overtime, nothing like that. It was hard going. And many and many a day I cried my eyes out going to work. So, that was it. I knew absolutely nothing about God's salvation, for I wasn't brought up in a Christian home. Now, if you're in the meeting tonight and you've been brought up in a Christian home, thank God for it. It might be irksome at times. You might wish to get away. And I'll tell you, hills are green far away. I'll maybe touch that in a minute. Thank God if you've been brought up in a Christian home. Thank God for it. Oh, I went to some place over there. But I tell you this, I never heard the gospel. I knew nothing that God made me for his glory. I knew nothing that man's chief aim is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. I knew absolutely nothing about the gospel, but I did know this, even in an early age, that there was something missing inside. In that little village, there was a badminton team, you'll see it, I'm getting at it a little minute. And to get on and get into the club at all, you had to have 5 shillings. Now, you older ones will have to sort out the young folk with that money later on, but never mind. But it was a lot of money. So I wondered if I could get on the team or in the club as an adventure. Now, I can remember very, very vividly getting an old tennis racket and trying to become a good badminton player up early in the morning. And I did learn this at an early age, that if you're going to get anything worthwhile in life, you've got to work at it. Now, things were tough and things were hard and we were poor. So at an early age, again, I left home and I went to work in England. I went down yonder. Can you imagine me from the back end of nowhere, standing at Euston Station and seeing all the traffic in those days? I didn't know where I'd arrived to. I went to stay with an aunt who was a Christian. Sad to say, she never spoke to me about Christ. I went to one gospel meeting. I'm looking back, the preacher so wrapped it up, I didn't understand what he was talking about. That's why I never tried to wrap up my preaching. Now, I wasn't long away from home then. It was pretty hard going. In those days, you couldn't get a job, really, even there, even in the London area. And the only job I got eventually was working in a brickyard where they made handmade bricks with the clay on the ground, like the other machines now. And so I had to get the old, whatever it was, to lift the clay and put it on the bench for the men to make the bricks. And often the handle of the shovel stuck to my hand. It was hard going. I got a wee bit fed up, I got a wee bit tired, and I wanted home. But pretty hard going to save enough money to get home. But eventually I saved enough money to get home. And I would say to you, dear young folk, again, you old folk will understand what I'm saying to you. It's good to be at home, isn't that right? It's good to sit down at home, even if it was a poor home. It was good to be back home again. Hills are green far away. You appreciate home when you have it, isn't that right? I hope you've got a home up there. I'll touch that in a wee minute. I'll tell you this, friend, you'd really think by us in 1988 that we're here forever. But we're only passing through, and soon eternity will be before us. And I want to tell you, in the fear of God, you make sure at the end of life's little journey that all is well, that you've got a home upon us. Thank God I have. Now, you're sure about that? Don't pull around to your soul now. Well, now, I went back to work in the egg store. By this time, I'm getting a bit older. One day, I saw in a bookshop a book called Health and Strength. And I remember writing in, and I joined the Health and Strength League. And in joining the Health and Strength League, I got a badge, and this is what the badge said. Motto, sacred thy body, even as thy soul. And I didn't know from the word of God that the Lord Jesus has said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Now, to lose one's wealth is much. And to lose one's health is more. I know a wee bit about that. But lose one's soul is such a loss that nothing can restore. By the way, is all right. Are you all right for eternity? Now, I used to do a lot of praying. You wouldn't think to see me now. I remember being fit to climb yonder the old rope down at the end, you know, and muscle control and all the rest. But by the way, I knew nothing about the gospel. And in spite of it all, there was still something missing inside. And I might be speaking to a man or a woman or a young person, and there's something missing inside. And really, deep down, you don't know what it is. I remember a man at work, a young man at work, came to me. He says, Jim, I'm thinking of starting a dance band. I said, that's good. He says, will you play in the band? I said, of course I will. So I played the drums, I better not tell you the name, in a certain well-known dance band up yonder in the Free State, and I loved ballroom dancing, but I want to tell you something. There was still something missing inside, and I didn't know what it was. They came to the little village. Now you'll have to bear with me, dear. They came to the little village, and well, I'm still going to go on with it anyway. They came to the little village, two girls to preach the gospel. Now, I didn't know anything about what the Bible said about, you know, girls preaching. Never mind, but I'll tell you what, for a certain reason that I'm not going to say publicly to the meeting, I sat away in the back seat yonder, and I can remember that preacher. I would say if it was in Scotland, thank God for Irish preachers. I can remember that. And I can remember the finger pointing, and I can remember the verses used. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if you're not saved, you'll be in hell by and by. Now, I didn't let it. No one had ever told me before I was a sinner in God's sight. And no one dared look me straight in the face and tell me so, the way I was going along my journey. And I left the meeting early, and I never went back. Meetings were over. Now, life went on. I wasn't getting any better. I was still searching and longing for something to satisfy within. I became a good badminton player, not the best to boast about that, and I don't want to boast about it. I played number 5 and 4 and 3 and 2 and 1 until I was playing number 1. Many a night my head was out here, and I was about 10 feet tall after winning a match or something like that. But there was still something missing inside. And I didn't know where it was. I used to take the paper and walk out the road, and not to read it, but to lie yonder in the woods and ask myself the question, what? 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 And I would still come in the road with something missing in here. Now, things were going on, and the years were slipping past. My father was a good engineer, a good pair of hands, that even made the tools to do the job. I never remember the doctor in our home, really. All he had is sometimes a cold or something like that. Anyway, we haven't the money to get the doctor, even we didn't need him really. Because you had to send a cronus, and it was a pound or so for the visit, and you'd really been really ill to get the doctor. But my father came in one day, just with a little pain in his stomach. He tried the old cures, but it didn't work. After Christmas, we brought him to the hospital in Monaghan. And after the surgeon examined him there, he took my brother aside. And he told my brother there was no hope for my dad. Now, I didn't know that. My father got worse and worse, until eventually we brought him to Enniskillen, to the hospital there. And on the 20th of May, which is my birthday, I watched my dad at the age of 63 die. Passing out of time into eternity. Sinner, friend of the meeting tonight, are you with me? Follow me. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. You've got to meet God. You've got to meet God, whoever you are. You've got to meet God. And I watched my father die. Now, I used to pass the graveyard where the lady mortal remains to rest, I often cry. Through my father's death, I was body touched with a policeman. Now, we call them civic guard. You all right? You with me? You would call a policeman. Well, that dear man used to come to the home when my dad was ill and read the Bible and pray with my mom and dad. So after my father died, he said to me one day, he said, Jim, would you come to some gospel meeting? My aunt. I was nearly 20 years. I thought of myself years ago, I was at a gospel meeting, I think. And they told me I was a sinner, and I left early, and not going to any gospel meeting. But he was persistent. He came to me again, and he asked me, would I go to the gospel meeting? I don't know what excuse I made the next time. But he came again, and by this time I was running out of excuses. And then I thought that they'd been so kind to my mum and dad. Just to please them, I'll go to the gospel meeting. So one night, he got his old battered Ford 10 car. I can see it now. And we started from New Bliss up to Drum. Maybe some of you know. And as we were going up the road to Drum, he didn't say much. He wasn't speaking. And when we got to Drum, to the little hall yonder, we went in. And then he told me. He said, Jim, the preacher tonight is an English man. I thought, an English man coming to preach to me. Never mind, I was there. I couldn't do much about it. So out walks the little man, nose well hammered in. Boy, I thought he was a buck. I heard his story afterwards. He played inside right for Aston Villa. The year Aston Villa won and lost the cup. They won the cup, they put it up for show and someone stole it, never found it again. His next fight was for the championship, so he's a full round, sort of an athlete, and there he stands. Listen about Billy Hughes. He never heard the name of Christ only in blasphemy. He never saw a Bible opened only in a shop window, and some of you have them in your homes and you never read them. Shame. 7 young men were waiting for the bus to take them into Birmingham to the pictures. As they're waiting for the bus to take them into the pictures in those days, the rain came down in bucketfuls. You want to hear him tell the story? That's how I know it. And they ran into the first place they could find, and it was a little mission hall or gospel hall. And there they're waiting out in the hall. And one of the dear Christian men went out and said, fellas, don't stand out there. Come in and sit down. Well, in they went to sit down, and they sat in the back seat. And one of them, I'm going to tell you as he told us, one of them gave him a dig in the rib with his elbow and said, we have arrived into a Bible-punching depot. He says, never mind about the Bible-punching depot. We're in out of the rain. We're going to wait to hear what the man has to say. And listen carefully now. the first time Billy Hughes heard the gospel, heard that God loved him, and heard on that old rugged cross Christ died for him. While the other six lads left to go to the pictures, Billy Hughes stayed behind. And he never had the like of it before. And he had a wee word with the preacher. He says, "Does God love a sinner like me? And did Christ die for a rebel like me?" And the preacher told him about the work of the man in the Calvary. Well, he says, "The least thing I can do, I can trust him now." And the first time he heard it, he got saved. Now, some of you have been hearing it a long time. And I want to tell you in the fear of God, and I don't want to get too worked up over this. You might be hearing it for the last time. Some of you think you can play fast and loose with the things of God. I want to tell you, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And it might be the last time you'll ever hear the call. Thank God tonight, my friend, you can be saved. But I can give you no guarantee for tomorrow. I don't know what he preached on. I went down the road in the car. Rattles or no rattles, the policeman's preaching to me now. And he put the foot down in the accelerator. I certainly couldn't jump out, but I thought myself, now he's got me in a tight corner. I wish I'd never come. We got to the police barracks, police station. And we sat at the bottom of the hill. Now, Euclid is a very small little village. And while he's preaching at me and speaking about the Lord Jesus and sin and so on, I'm pushing down the door handle with my elbow, and I'm sure it'd never been oiled from the day the car was made, and it was squealing clean. And I'll tell you what happened. All of a sudden the door opened and I fell out, and you know what he did? He dragged me back in. Then he said this to me, he said, "Jim, you don't want to hear," and I didn't, really. There was other things in my mind. Well, he said, "You better go." But he said, "Before you go, I'm going to leave a verse with you from the Bible." Sit up. "The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man." I hope you're hearing me. There is a line by us on sea which crosses every path. The hidden boundary between God's mercy and God's wrath. Man, woman, waking up before it's too late. Lad, lassie, brought up in a Christian home in the light of God's eternity, it's time you were saved." I got out of the car subdued. I walked up the hill of the village where everybody knew me, really. Every step that I took, I thought of the meetings years past with the girl had spoken. I thought of God's spirit striving, and I didn't know much about it. I thought of my father dying. I walked up the hill and I waited up as best I could in the light of God's eternity. Heaven or hell, saved or lost. I thought of the man I worked for, religious. I knew that perhaps he might sack me if I said I'd become a Christian. And work wasn't so easy to get. I knew the folk in the badminton team and in the badminton club would likely smock and scoff at me. I knew perhaps that maybe the dancers would have to stop. Well, I'm not a singer, and I didn't know any hymns in the book, but there's one hymn I would have sung that night as I stood on the hill, and I'll tell you what it was. "My old companions, fare you well. I will not go with you to hell. I mean with Jesus Christ that dwell as God." And that night I made up my mind to get saved, but I didn't know how to get saved. And I didn't know what to do to be saved. But above everything else, I wanted God's salvation. And when a man gets there, he's not too far away. I got down on my knees when I went in yonder. And getting down on my knees when I went in yonder, I remember praying at the bed. I went out the next day and I told this particular policeman I was saved. I wasn't saved at all. I was anxious to be saved, but I hadn't really got the grip of Christ. Went on for a good evening. I used to talk to myself. My niece used to run in from the next room and think there was something going wrong with me. She said, "Who are you speaking to?" Oh, I said, "Now, leave me alone." I used to say, "God, I want it. I don't know how to get saved. But if there's anything to do for God's salvation, I'll do it. Please show me." And some of you brought up in a Christian home could tell me, couldn't you? good Sunday school, good Bible class. You know all about it. You know at nearly 28 years of age how to be saved. It's simple and yet so real, isn't it? Well, I was on my bicycle one night. Good to be saved, isn't it? That? Isn't it? If you're really saved, isn't it good to know the Saviour? It's said about Mr. Spurgeon that he never lost the glow of his salvation. I hope you haven't lost the glow of yours if you're saved. Something wrong if you have. A lot of folks seem to be enduring today, but I tell you, this is worth enjoying it. Now, I remember at a place called Cooper's Court, near Killeven. That's outside Eblis, between Eblis and Killeven. I remember getting off the bicycle. My wife's from Scotland, and I took her to the spot one day when we were over on a wee holiday. I stood there. I don't know who passed me. It was night. I don't know where any cars or lorries or bicycles or anything passed me. I wasn't worried too much about them. I stood there. I remember saying something like this: God, please show me how to be saved. And I'll not leave the spot tonight until I am saved. And I made up my mind that night to go in for God's salvation. And I was desperate for it. And I wanted it. And thank God, God was ready to give it to me. I remember reasoning it out like that. Oh God, I know I'm a sinner. I know that one day there's a great white throne I didn't know very much. And just as if God said to me, now be careful with me, because I didn't have a Christian background and I didn't know all the things that perhaps you knew. Just as if God said to me, said, well, my dear, my son should die for you on the cross. And I remember saying something like this: Lord, do you mean to tell me that you loved me enough? Come all the way from heaven for a sinner like me. And just as if he answered back, that's right. And you mean to tell me, Lord Jesus, that you went to that old cross and in agony and shame you died for sinners like me? And just as if he said, that's right. And I remember bowing my head, and all I could say, and I did say it from a full heart, just thank you, Lord, for dying for me. And I just trusted him as my Savior. Nothing big, no flashes of lightning, but I just trusted Christ in utter simplicity, and I'll tell you what happened. Soon as my all I entered, upon the atoning blood, the Holy Spirit entered, and I was born of God. I couldn't have given you the theology of it, I'm not much good at doing it yet, but I know it happened. I jumped on the bike, and I'm sure the front wheel was up off the ground. The weight was gone. The burden was gone. Something happened inside. I was saved. I became a child of God. I was born again. It got around the wee village of Eblis that Jim Smith had become religious. Well, I didn't become religious. I got saved. And then someone went in one day to see my mother. And this is what they said to my mother. They said, your son's got religious. Do you think he'll be able to stick it? Well, she says, I don't know about him getting religious. I know something's happened to him, but I'll tell you this. He didn't leave the sticking to me. The government's on his one shoulder, and I'll tell you, like the lost sheep, I'm on his foot. And he put his big arms around me, and the lovely man at Calvary that went all the way to Calvary to rescue me will never let me go till he lands me in the glory. Hallelujah, what a thing. Could you forgive me? Do you really know him or know about him? Could you take me to the spot where you trusted Christ? Could you take me to the very time when you trusted the Savior? I could. Thank God for that. Well, now, I'd better go on quickly. My dear old mother, I took her to England to stay with my sister in Ashford, Middlesex. When I was in England a good while, I came up to Scotland. I'm just going through that bit. And when I was in Scotland, I married a girl in Scotland. In the meeting where I went to, there was a dear man of God. Used to enjoy his ministry and listening to him preaching the gospel. Where I worked, I used to work on a Saturday afternoon. I used to watch the people going up and down, and God put a burden on my soul for the souls of men and women. I always had a wee one. But I got such a burden for the souls of men and women that at night I couldn't sleep. The Lord, where to go? Who's telling us? It's hell without Christ. So one day I said to my boss, I said, calling him by name, I said, I'm going out to preach the gospel. And this is what he said. He said, Jim, well, if ever you get fed up preaching the gospel, your job's waiting on you when you return. So I don't bring him to preach the gospel. I had a tent. I used to live in a caravan. And this is the wee bit I want to get to. I was only doing that for 1 year when I took a little pain in my body. I went to the local doctor, and I can see him now. He had a wee look at me. He said, it's indigestion. All right. He gave me some tablets of powder. I can't remember when. Well, it didn't cure the indigestion. I went back. Well, he says, we've had a rep in, he said, the day with some other stuff. You'll get some of that. I got that, but it didn't cure the pain. A dear Christian said to me, now, Jim, you'll go to Reading to Dr. Mark the word, Dr. Bernardo, who is a Christian. So I went to Dr. Bernardo in Reading. I can still see it all. And when I got to Dr. Bernardo, he examined me. He wrote me out a letter. He says, take it back to your doctor. So I got the letter from one doctor to the other doctor. And the doctor that I had in Cobham said to me, he's just a GP like myself, he says, I'll get you to a specialist. And when the specialist examined me, he said, it's Epsom Hospital for you. Now, that's where they're on the Derby. Now, I've been to the Derby. He gave out leaflets. So. And I went to the hospital. I was in this bed in the big ward, and then they moved me up to the bed at the top of the ward. Round comes a tall gentleman. He still sees. He came over to my bed, and I had my little Bible sitting out on the locker. This tall gentleman said to me, he said, Mr. Smith, now I had a problem in there. Spelling my name, why, they didn't know where to call me, Smith or Smith. But never mind. So he said, Mr. Smith, or is it Smith? I said, Smith will do. He said, are you a Christian? I said, I am. I said, are you a Christian? He says, I am. I said, he says, are you born again? I said, I am. He says, so am I. Now he says, tomorrow at such and such a time, I'm going to take you down to the field. See this. I went to ward, and the next day he came again. He said, I'm taking you down again. So he did. Now he says, I'm going to take you down again. He did. And the next day he pulled the curtains round my bed. Now listen for his end. Now Mr. Smith, he says, I'm going to operate. Might be all right, Smith, might. He says, I'll pray. I'll be praying for you before, during, and after your operation. God, this is men everywhere. I hope you pray. Shut me down. One night with the curtains round my bed, and my dear wife sitting beside me, with my hand in her hand, I said, Nessie, lass, I'll not be here in the morning. And they thought, and she thought, and everybody thought but the Lord, that was my last night on earth. She went home to have a phone call to tell her I was gone. Now, I was pretty near death that night. Preacher, what's it like when a Christian draws near? I'll tell you. And don't look for dying grace until you need it, but praise God when you need it, it's there. I've learned that. What was it like? It was like a mother, you mother. It was like a mother with a little baby in her arms. And she was just rocking that little infant to sleep. And that night all the Lord Jesus was going to do the tune was going to rock me to sleep. And in the words of a dear Scotsman who preaches the gospel well and ministers God's word, death to the believer is closing your eyes down here and opening them up there. And if I had left this world that night, I'd have been forever with the Lord. Have you got a hope like that? Have you got a hope? Is all right now? Because you don't know. And I cannot tell when I'll be called out of time into eternity. So I'll tell you, the night I needed Christ most, he was there. What a Savior. And I have learned over the years, he's not a disappointment. Now I must stop. Time's gone. Time slips away, doesn't it? We've got 4 minutes, 2 minutes. Listen carefully. 2 minutes after I'm gone, loved ones will gaze on my sad, cold face. Shadows and mourning will fill the place just 1 second after I'm gone. Those sorrowing faces I'll not see. Those murmuring voices, they'll not reach me. But where, oh, where will my soul be? Just 1 second after I'm gone. My wife went to see the surgeon with another dear friend, and this is what he said. He said, Mrs. Smith, I did all I could, maybe a month, maybe 6 months, maybe a year. He says, I cannot tell. We'll leave him in God's hands. I couldn't be in better hands, could I? I'll tell you this, I'm still in God's hands. But when the call comes, I'm ready to go, to be forever with the Lord. Now, I'm thinking, what will you do with me? Neutral, you cannot be. And what will they ask? What will they do with me? Now, that's my weak testimony. I tell you this, God really loves you enough to give his son. And on that old cross of shame and sorrow and suffering, he died there. And I tell you tonight, my friend, a salvation for you. And lay your deadly doom down. It's by faith in Christ. And I'll tell you tonight, you can be saved in the seat where you sit. You can go out of that door tonight and lose your soul, lose your soul's salvation, and finish up in the caverns of the Lord.